You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, the mercury is rising, the grass greening, and spring is in the air, and in the Buckley Valley, that means growing season has begun. The Smithers Farmers Institute wants to help ensure we grow as much local food as possible in the BV, and as such, this past weekend they held a workshop at Driftwood Hall to help folks prep for the upcoming growing season on what to plant at the right time, what varieties work best in the north, and how to solve common issues growers have in the valley. One idea in particular that gained interest at the workshop was a small contraption called a soil blocker to plant seedlings in without needing a container of some kind and cutting down on your plastic usage. Quite ingenious, but I'll let Teresa DeGroot explain.
I'm showing you to make these blocks as opposed to starting them in, like, a lot of people will fill, like at a nursery too, you just get soil and fill up one of these, which you do for certain things, which works well, but I find the soil blocks work super well for a lot of things, like all the brassicas. Like at home right now, I've got broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, cucumbers, all started in these little ones under lights. Bit of investment for this sort of thing, so there's nothing wrong with starting it this way. It's just people like different things. So this is the same idea of starting each, like, plants, like, you know, a broccoli seed or a cabbage seed in each one of these, or a cucumber seed in each one. Brian can show you how those are made. And then I brought in some seeds just to give ideas of things and wanted to share. People can take these plants home just to try different things. And like the tomatoes. We started tomatoes, I usually start them in March, and I was jumping the gun this year and started in February, so there, and we have a greenhouse, so I have tomato plants that are quite big that I'm selling my extras if anybody is wanting tomato plants. I wasn't willing to transport them here though because they'll be too big in the car. So the tomato plants, I could put, what was it? 4 times 7 rows or something, the whole tray under lights, like usually in March, to start them. And so then once the tomatoes are kind of a bit bigger and not under the lights anymore, because it's a limited number of lights, then I start the broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, put those under the lights, start some, and then I start some a bit later again so that you kind of have succession planting a little bit, so that not all the broccoli is ready at one time.
If you ever get into these things, you just make sure they're separate, because the roots won't grow in the air, right? So if they're touching like this, the plants will grow together and then they get tangled up. If you separate them, then they won't grow out, but they do grow into the root, into the dirt. So when you pick it up as a lump, it doesn't fall apart. Yep. It's actually really difficult to do it the way we're doing it here. Like, you don't want to put them like this because you can't handle them.
Brian Swansburg is the secretary for the Smithers Farmers Institute, and I had a chance to chat with him after the workshop about what the institute is focused on in 2025.
The members of the Farmers Institute have been very concerned or interested in local food security. Of course, we also are aaming at just general, commercial gardening, right? Like that level of keeping food in the neighborhood, in the community. But as far as on the individual level, getting food available in people's backyards effectively. Because, you know, the more food we have in backyards, the less we have to drive in, especially from the United States. And, you know, that's a big deal right now still. So for people who really don't know where to begin, we had a few people show up today and who are raw beginners. And how do you, which, you know, the classic one is, which way up do you plant your asparagus? Lots of people we know have planted asparagus and then dug it up because it didn't work, because there is an up and a down.
No doubt. The Buckley Valley is a bit of a breadbasket.
You know, what? Tell me more about what the Institute is trying to do to improve or advance, you know, agriculture and personal agriculture, you know, even small scale gardens here in the Bulkley Valley. Because it seems that, you know, obviously over the years, this has been become more of a conversation, food sovereignty, local food systems, which we don't really have much of anymore, except for a lot of what's happening now here.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Apparently, this is just an amusing little anecdote. Apparently, the Bulkley Valley grew all the Timothy seed for Canada in, I'll say, 1930, probably out by a decade or two. And then the oxeye daisy came in, and it's exactly the same size seed as the Timothy plant. And so they couldn't separate it at the time. And so that entire industry was wiped out. So those little cute little daisies you see in the fields are a real problem for the Bulkley Valley. There's regional differences. Like, you can grow blueberries better in Hazleton than here. But yeah, there's a lot of plants, especially anything that I'd call brassica. So all the like Brussels sprouts, cabbages, broccoli, and cauliflower are excellent for this environment. Garlic is another one that's we're crazy to be growing, to be importing those items here.
Why can't we sell, you know, get all this stuff readily available to the locals, so we don't have to rely so heavily on imports? And yeah, it seems that, you know, from what I can gather, obviously the Institute is kind of focused on making that, you know, more of a reality.
Yeah, we're kind of the bridge organization. If you're a dairy farmer, you know, you've got the big dairy farming organization behind you. And if you're, I don't know, if you only grow two tomatoes in the backyard, it's really not, you know, that's for your own use. Yeah. We kind of want to be in that middle ground, everywhere between those two. Yeah. But as an example of the food issues, like last year, the slaughterhouse closed. And so now if you raise a chicken or a turkey or, you know, a bird, you basically have to kill it yourself now. And that's really reduced the interest level. You know, I think lots of people who raise a chicken are happy killing and eating a chicken, but not very many people who raise a chicken are interested in killing 10,000 chickens, right? Which is roughly how many were killed last year at the slaughterhouse here. And just for a rough number, right? So basically that industry, if we're going to call it that, can't exist right now because there's nowhere to deal with chickens. You know, I'm pretty much vegetarian, so that it's not important to me, but it's important to the local people and the industry that this is available. You know, there's no point in having 100 cows in the backyard if you don't know what to do with them. So there's a difference between what is possible and what is politically able and what is practical. And those three things can be an issue. Like, if you plant garlic, it should grow, but it could freeze or it could flood. But if you grow a cow, you got to know what to do with it once it's growing up. And you can't really just wing it. So I see that as a being issue for cattle. That's something you can put on a liner and move, and there's a industry of a system for that. But chickens are what people keep in their backyard, and that's something that you want to be able to at least deal with, right? I mean, even if you just keep chickens for eggs, eventually you end up with an old worn out chicken you got to do something with. And there's people out there who keep them as pets, right? Like, this little chicken hasn't produced an egg for 2 years, but it's still a pet because it's a friend of yours, right? When you have 10,000 of them in a coop or a warehouse, that style of structure, they aren't pets anymore, right? It's a business. You can't just keep them around as friends afterwards. You got to do something.
We're currently headed into the next growing season. It's spring now, and the workshop was trying to help kind of people understand how they can get a garden going themselves and some of the do's and don'ts. What has the Institute got next? What's your plan and kind of objectives for this next growing season?
Yeah, well, you know, since COVID, we got hit pretty hard. It was hard to get people together. And I think there's less enthusiasm right now. Maybe less enthusiasm for getting together, if not less enthusiasm for growing food. Yeah. So we really want to get the whole social infrastructure, the somewhere to talk to people, somewhere to ask questions back up and running. We've run several big galas and, mm-hmm. and conferences in the past and would like to do that again. Still thinking about redoing those things, but it just hasn't happened. Like I say, there seems to be a psychological barrier for getting together. I mean, it's kind of funny how we moved to Smithers because it's such a an interesting social place, right? Like all the people that we got to know and stuff. And right now, there's not that many people are getting together anymore. Mm-hmm. It's all in little groups now instead of big groups. And that's okay, but I think it's time to get the big groups back together, even if it means wearing a mask while we're doing it.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Well, keep us informed because it's always good to see more people growing things in their garden. And I hope we'll speak again.
I appreciate your interest. It's good to get as many people as we can involved in this activity.
That was Brian Swansburg of the Smithers Farmers Institute. Stay tuned to CICK News as we bring you more stories like this in the coming weeks from the fields and gardens of bountiful Bulkley Valley. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.